You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King MOX.
Matt Pauley is taking a well-deserved break during the All-Star break. Nate Gatter with you in his stead. We'll be here Wednesday and Thursday as well. And then Matt will return with you on Friday when the Cardinals make their return in Arizona. One of the things that we'll have to talk about is the Cardinals' schedule and how it plays in their favor in the remainder of July up until the trade deadline with Arizona, Colorado, then a tougher series back home against San Diego, and then Miami prior to the deadline, but how maybe that complicates things a little bit more for John Mozeliak as well. That's going to be a conversation we will get to at the end of this hour. Remember, you can be a part of any of our chats at 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. You can comment on our streams, any of your social media sites, wherever you follow the show. You can also tweet us at KMOX Sports to hear your name and your comment or your question on the air. Time to turn our attention to St. Louis City, coming off a 2-1 win over Portland at Energizer Park on Sunday. Marcel Hartl scored a couple of goals for City in the second half to come from 1-0 down to win 2-1. It had been a long time since City won a game coming from behind. Really, since City won a game, period, it feels so rare. So there are so few and far between this year. They are still second bottom in the Western Conference. They will play FC Dallas, one spot ahead of them, in 13th in the Western Conference, down in Texas on Saturday. We're going to talk to Daniel Esteve tomorrow, former Fox 2 reporter here in St. Louis, who is now down in Dallas working in local television there. He's going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour tomorrow to preview St. Louis City's match against FC Dallas. We're going to talk much sooner, though, in just about 10 minutes with Tom Timmerman, who covers St. Louis City for the Post-Dispatch, and get the latest not only on that performance against Portland and looking ahead toward FC Dallas, but maybe more importantly on where the roster is right now, because City officially announced the addition of Falu Fall, a young Senegalese center back, just turned 21 years old. In April, he had been playing with Fredrikstad in the Norwegian top division, and a guy who is attracting interest, I think, is very, very exciting because of his profile. First of all, at 6'4" tall, left-footed center back. So David Critchley, City manager, the City interim manager today at training, talking about how he is going to play as the left-sided center back, and they're really excited to slot him in there. Obviously, City have brought in one center back after another. There have been so many injury issues at center back for City. It really feels like Tim Parker has been the only center back for City who in their three seasons has been able to come in and fully establish himself and play a ton of minutes there. Obviously, he is no longer with the club. Kyle Hebert has also been pretty reliably on the field, but he's played quite a bit of fullback as well during his time, and he's always been a sort of a second option. Just so many different guys who have been back there at center back, and it's put so much pressure on City defensively and on Roman Berkey, who they always ask a lot of in goal. Regardless, Fall, very interesting. Also because his market value just exploded really, really quickly in his time in Norway. There's a site you might be familiar with called Transfer Market. If you follow soccer, Transfer Market in theory tracks and sort of estimates players' market value. And they have Fall valued at 2.8 million euros, which would, what, be somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 million, maybe a little more than $3 million with where the dollar is relative to the euro right now. That was 7 months ago, 8 months ago, that was 1.5 million euros. And just over a year ago, June 3rd, 2024, they had him at 100,000 euros. So he's gone from 100,000 to 2.8 in the span of a year, basically 13 months. His value has increased by 2,800%, or 2,700% increase, I guess, by 28 times, according to Transfer Market. Now, that doesn't mean that's necessarily what City paid, and it doesn't mean they're necessarily precisely accurate, but his value has exploded. It's clear that what he did in Norway attracted a lot of attention, including from St. Louis City, and they won the race to sign him. Reportedly, according to Tom Bogert of I guess he's not with The Athletic now anymore. But according to Tom Bogert on Twitter, they are also making moves, they being St. Louis City, for a couple of players from Minnesota United. One of them is Sangbin Jeong, who is a forward for Minnesota, and they are making a cash trade for him. Something you're allowed to do now in MLS is make cash trades within the league, just buy a player, essentially, without having to use general allocation money, which has also always been the rule in MLS in the past, is sort of complicated things. Now you're allowed a certain number of times to sort of operate outside of that structure. And Jeong is Jeong Sangbin is an attractive player for City in terms of his potential. I think he's still a young guy at 23 years old. He will turn 24, or he just turned 23, I should say, back in April. South Korean attacker who was with Wolverhampton Wanderers in England, although never made a first-team appearance, spent some time on loan in Switzerland, and has been with Minnesota since 2023. A guy who there was a lot of optimism around when he came to Minnesota, you know, commands a high salary, makes over $700,000 a year, which is a pretty significant number in Major League Soccer, especially for a guy who came to the U.S. at 21 years old. And so City will be hoping to discover some of that ability as they sort of sort through, try to add to their options and bolster things on the attacking front, especially with Rasmus Alm now ruled out for the remainder of the season and unlikely probably to play for St. Louis City again with some of the really unfortunate injury issues that he has had. The other one, Devin Paddleford, left back for Minnesota, who has reportedly set to join City on a loan move. Minnesota United, a homegrown player, a Minnesota native, who was the first player ever, first homegrown player to score a goal for Minnesota United, and Paddleford potentially tipped by Tom Bogert for the move to St. Louis. So potentially three additions in a short span here in July. One of them, Falu Fall, has been made official by St. Louis City, and we will talk about that along with everything else St. Louis City with Tom Timmerman when he joins us here in just about 5 or 6 minutes on KMOX. We'll also talk to Bill McDermott right after Tom, Mr. Soccer, about the U.S. men's national team performance in the Gold Cup and look ahead toward the World Cup. Certainly, things are kind of in flux. I think not quite as much positive momentum around the U.S. men's national team as folks would have been hoping with the World Cup on home soil now just a year out. There was a lot of optimism, I think, coming out of the 2022 World Cup. Certainly, I felt a lot of optimism about the U.S. men's national team, the talent level, where they were pointed. There was another wave of optimism that followed Mauricio Pochettino's appointment as the U.S. manager. And in general, there seems to be some angst and drama around the U.S. men's national team. When isn't there? But that volume has turned up quite a bit this summer with some of the notable names skipping out on the Gold Cup, most notably Christian Pulisic. He's sort of been the lightning rod for it and attracted a lot of the criticism, but other names as well who figure to be part of the first choice 11 next year at the World Cup, if healthy. And we will discuss that with Bill, along with touching on the Club World Cup that wrapped up a couple of days ago as well. All of that is to come. Graybar Sports Open Line continues after this. Tom Timmerman joins us next. St. Louis City after the break on KMOX.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Graybar Sports Open Line continues. Tom Timmerman is with us. He covers St. Louis City for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can follow him on Twitter, at Tom Tim. Tom, how are you doing? Thanks so much for being with us.
I'm doing fine, thank you, Nate. And it's I think this is my first time on FM.
Oh, yeah, might be. 104.1 FM, our new signal. I hope you can feel it coursing through your phone, that your voice is being brought to people crystal clear around the St. Louis area.
I sound sharper already.
You certainly do. Tom, let's start with the match on Sunday. City got a win that I think felt refreshing in more ways than one, not only coming from behind with those two second-half Marcel Hartl goals to beat Portland 2-1, but doing it while out-possessing Timbers, doing it while out-shooting them, more shots on goal. In many, many ways, the passes as well, the stat sheet just did not look like a typical St. Louis City stat sheet, maybe at any point in their history, certainly not like it looked in the early part of this year under Olaf Melberg. Do you think Sunday is in many ways indicative of how David Critchley and the brain trust at City want to see this transition back into a little closer to the old identity, plus maybe some more possession?
Yeah, well, I think they've wanted to see that for a while. This is the first time they really saw it. They have seen glimpses of it in previous games, and they have done things that looked well, but there has always been a failure in there somewhere that has led to them losing. And so this was the first time in which they put a good game together and got a win out of it. And it's, you know, kind of unusual, and because, I mean, they were 0-9 when they'd given up the first goal in game. So to come back and win, that was something. And, I mean, Hartle hadn't scored a goal in 2 months, so that was something. So, and then Edward Lubin returns, and, you know, they barely ever win without him this season. So a lot of things that needed to happen for them to be successful happened, and now they need to recreate that over the final 12 games of the season.
Speaking of things that need to happen in order to be successful, obviously City feel, and with good reason, that they're going to need to make at least some additions, at least some tweaks to this roster in order to be successful going forward and pull themselves out of the bottom part of the Western Conference that they've occupied now for the better part of 2 years. And we'll get to a moment to the reported additions of a couple of guys from Minnesota, but let's start with the addition that City have made official with Falu Fall, the young Senegalese center back, joining from the Norwegian League, just 21 years old, brings that left-footed element. It sounds like they're very excited about him, and really, I was just talking about it in the last segment, if you look at his transfer market page and the way his value has at least in the eyes of people on the outside, but very much in the know still, has skyrocketed in the last year. This is a guy everybody's excited about around the world.
Yeah, some of his analytics were pretty high, and you know where he ranks among young center backs, whether in Europe or anywhere in the world. I mean, he was well sought after. And the fact, I mean, City paid, you know, we don't know the exact number, but, you know, 3 million euros, about $3.5 million. I mean, that's, they've only paid more in a transfer fee for one player, and that'd be Klaus back in the very beginning. And so many of their acquisitions have been guys on free transfers. And here was a case where they had a few left backs or left-footed players that they were looking at. And, you know, this was one guy that they kind of settled on, and they went after him, and they paid the money, and there was, you know, German clubs that may have been interested. So they went after this guy. You know, he's 21 years old. You know, is he going to change this year's team? Probably not a whole lot. But this is an investment in the future for these guys, for being better down the line. And it solves a big problem. I mean, they have one among their many, many, many center backs. I mean, the only one they have who's left-footed is Joachim Nielsen, who is always hurt, and is, you know, he's played in 34 games over 2.5 seasons. So it's tough, you know, and so they're looking at some, you know, a player in that role who can, you know, start the attack in that direction to make it easier to move the ball from one side to the other and get it going on the left-hand side, because they are, they do a lot of their attack, you know, Thomas Tolland on the right gets forward. They don't get as forward as much on the left. This could be something that plays into that.
So there are a couple of things to me about this transfer that really stand out, and you mentioned, you know, the money and the ambition that shows, and I'll kind of get to that in a second. First of all is the age, right? Only 21 years old. City have not brought in a player with this level of expectation who is also this young. How long, considering his youth, considering that he is from Africa and then his professional experience has been in Europe, and he's now coming to the United States and going to be in a very different situation in a lot of ways than what he has been so far in his career. How long do you think it's going to take for him to see the field and then for folks to realistically be able to expect him to make an impact?
Well, I think he's going to see the field pretty quickly, as opposed to some of the transfers last summer who were, you know, coming from Germany where their season had ended in May, and so they hadn't been playing for 2 months, and then it took them a while to get up to speed. The Norwegians, you know, their season matches the MLS season. So he's in mid-season form, so that should speed up how long he can get in. I would think that the transition from Senegal to Norway, with a stop in France and in Serbia, is pretty drastic. And I'm sure it'll find life in some ways simpler in America. So, you know, I think he could be on the field, you know, as soon as he has his visa in place. Now, as to when he starts making an impact, you know, that's another question. And some of it's going to depend on, you know, how the other center backs are. Is he playing alongside Timo Baumgartel, alongside Henry Kessler, or do they use him? They conceivably could use him as a left back, because that's a position where they've got two really young guys that they're looking at there. Yeah, he's got one game in the top division in France, otherwise reserve games there, the Norwegian League, which is, you know, not one of your top, I don't know, 10 leagues in Europe probably. So this will be a jump, but I think this is for him a big bet on himself. I mean, he could have gone to maybe a club in Germany, and with the time this contract, I mean, it runs through 2028 with an option for 2029. City is going to want to, you know, get him out there, and he's going to want to make a good showing. He's got a reason. I mean, he's looking, I mean, ultimately he wants to get back to Europe. So he's got potential there, and he, you know, again, could have taken a European deal, didn't do it, is coming here. So I was looking for that opportunity, and we'll see. But he could be, you know, I think the first game he's eligible for is, what, the 26th? The window opens on the 24th. So, I mean, he could be out there as quickly as they could get him out. It's tough. I mean, it's center back is a weird position for City right now. I mean, their top three guys in Kessler, Baumgartel, and Nielsen, those are their top three. They're all hurt at this moment. Baumgartel may be back this week. So it's something where the numbers could complicate matters, and they might have to find another way to try to get him in. But, you know, this is something they want to see. You know, I mean, they kind of know what those other guys are, and I think they need to see how he's going to fit in.
Tom Timmerman is with us. He covers St. Louis City for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Tim. Tom, you sort of took me toward where I want to go next on the follow fall discussion, just to wrap things up. And the other thing to me that feels unusual, if not unique, about this signing in City's young history, it's not only the amount of money they paid. Like you said, you'd probably think it's somewhere in the region of $3.5 million for him. Mm-hmm. And it's not only his age at 21. It's a combination of those things and how sought after he already is in Europe. This is a player who, in theory, is in a position, as you hinted at, that if he were to have a couple of good years with St. Louis, they might be able to sell back to Europe for a significant amount of money. And outside of maybe Nico Gioacchini on just a smaller scale, because they paid less to get him and they made less when they sold him off, but they made a significant profit selling him to Europe. He's the only other guy I can think of who would have come to City where clearly his ambition was to use City, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but to use City as a stepping stone to improve his game, to improve his status in the sport, and to ultimately move to a bigger club, which is not atypical of how leagues in the general caliber of MLS interact with ambitious young players in their early 20s. But it hasn't been typical of City so far. In some ways, this feels like a big swing in a sporting sense and a business sense.
It is. MLS is still largely an exporting league. They get a lot of money by developing young players and selling them on. Yeah, the one guy on City that maybe could have done that, maybe Jabulo Blom, which from Africa, of all places. And I don't think he ever felt comfortable in America. I mean, he was a long way from home, and I think he felt it. And he was here on his own. It was a tough thing for him. Fall is married, so he'll have built-in companionship with him here. That might simplify the transition for him. But, yeah, this is something where City's looking at, you know, this is an investment, and they hope that they get a good return on that. So that's something they need to do. I mean, it's something that has long been a goal, and this is their first really big chance, because it's also the first time, like you said, you know, they haven't gone out and spent a lot of money. I mean, they've got so many guys on free transfers over the years. This is the time they said, we like this guy. There's good things about him. we're going to get this guy, and you know they're going to hope it works.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see him up close. This is, I think, the most excited I've been to see a city transfer take the field for the first time, at the very least since Marcel Hartl, and maybe period, since things have really gotten underway. I think it's going to be fun to keep an eye on him. Tom, we so appreciate you making time for us this evening. Thanks a lot for all your work. Look forward to talking again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Nate.
Tom Timmerman of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Tim. Get all that reporting at STL Today on Falu Fall, the newest official edition of St. Louis City, and reportedly a couple potential more to follow in this summer window, as reported by Tom Bogard, among others. We'll take a break. Mr. Soccer Bill McDermott will be with us after this, U.S. men's national team. Then we'll circle back to some of your final thoughts on the Cardinals and the polling that we have put out there as we approach the trade deadline. That'll be at the end of this hour. We'll also look ahead to what we have for you tomorrow night. All of that and more, Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues next. Mr. Soccer Bill McDermott is with us on Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Nate Gatterbank with you in for Matt Pauly. Bill is going to tell us everything that we need to know about the U.S. men's national team after what, Bill, I think you have to consider a disappointing Gold Cup. Maybe if you consider the roster the U.S. really had at their disposal, it's a little less disappointing to make it to the final and ultimately come up short 2-1 to Mexico. But at the same time, that's a tournament the U.S. always feel they have to win to call it a success.
I think so, Nat. What they did, Nate, was really had a roster that, as you just pointed out, was not their first 11 that you're going to see at the World Cup next year, at least probably not. Now, did some of these players play so well overall improve their worth to the coach? I think some did. But as you look at this team right now, when they go into the Gold Cup, for all intents and purposes, this is the last competitive aspect of any kind of competition they're going to have, other than some friendlies. They got friendlies coming up against Ecuador and Australia, two teams that have already qualified for the World Cup, but like Mexico and Canada, the United States doesn't have to qualify. So it's a means of playing competition as much as you can prior to the World Cup, and preferably playing different types of countries, because who knows, next year in 2026, with 48 countries entering the World Cup for the first time ever, you have no idea who you're going to be playing.
There were a lot of guys, as you said, missing for the U.S. men's national team. I mean, Christian Pulisic, unsurprisingly, got the majority of the headlines, both because of his stature and also because he missed it for rest, whereas some were recovering from surgeries, like Anthony Robinson. Some were missing for through injury, like Fuller and Balogun, Ricardo Pepi, Sergio Dest. You know, but regardless of why they were missing, this is an incredible list. Pulisic, Robinson, Balogun, Pepi, Dest, Weston McKennie, Tim Weah, Gio Reyna, Yunus Musa, Josh Sargent. You could build a competitive World Cup first 11 with only the players who weren't there for the U.S. as much. In fact, you'd want more of them than the guys who were there. How much is this going to hurt, without getting into sort of the politics and the drama of it all, which the U.S. men's national team media community is always willing to do about who's right and who's wrong for what reasons. Let's just set that aside, because I don't really care. What I care about is being in a position to succeed at the World Cup next summer. So whether they were missing through injury or through club obligations or through rest, how much do you think it hurts the U.S. men's team to go into the most important tournament in decades without having played much together?
Well, I think, Nate, you bring up a very, very valid point. And by the way, those names you just ticked off there, that's a goodly portion of that first 11. But I think they have grown to be more sophisticated as a unit, so that going into a difficult competition and being the host always wants to at least, and believe me, this is at least, get out of that first round. But as you look at this overall team now, I think they do have developed a level of sophistication where they're accustomed to events like this. Now, a goodly number, as you just pointed out, and name their names, of that first 11, no, they didn't participate. But some others are going to perhaps get their names continually in front of people so that they gain their own amount of pedigree. And that's what Mauricio Pochettino has been doing. That was what he did with this most recent competition. Let's get some players and find out if they can indeed get on the team, push themselves to perhaps be better than some of our existing first 11 players, or at least get in the selection. And as I mentioned when we just started our conversation, I think that 4, 5, or 6 of the players who you most recently saw did indeed accomplish that.
Yeah, Mauricio Pochettino, I think at times has seemed frustrated about the players he's been missing, but at times, to your point, has been adamant that it's about what you do with the national team, and he did get the opportunity to see some guys take real steps forward. I mean, I think Diego Luna is somebody who would not have really been on the radar in a couple of years ago, and now has put himself in a position where he has a very, very good chance to be on the team. Obviously, yes. Tim Ream and Chris Richards and Tyler Adams did well. They were going to be on the team one way or the other. Maybe a couple of other guys who at least played their way into bench roles. I didn't mention Malik Tillman. He certainly will be on the team, you would think, if healthy.
You would think.
Potentially could be in the mix to get significant playing time. Then goalkeeper. The goalkeeping conversation is crazy to me because it feels like only a couple of years ago we were talking about, wow, the U.S., I mean, if there's one position that's so great, it's goalkeeper. We've got so many good ones. It's just a question of who gets the nod. Now, they're all freaking backups in Europe. Nobody ever gets to play, and so you can't evaluate them.
Whereas in past World Cups, when the United States has been most successful, and I bring that up simply because of 2002, when Casey Keller and Brad Friedel were playing, and Brad Friedel was clearly one of the best goalkeepers at the 2002 World Cup. It seemed to be, at least in the mind of Pochettino, that Matt Turner was going to be a foregone conclusion. However, we see Matt Fries get into the first 11 and continue to play throughout this entire tournament. Is Zach Steffen still going to be a constant? He has been a constant in the conversation prior. Is Patrick Schulte, the St. Louisan, is he going to rebound from injury to get back into potentially getting in the selection? Also, Nate, I think another position that is positively up for grabs is the number 9. And I think that position has been up for grabs. Again, I referenced that 2002 team because that's where Brian McBride was. I still think this position is wide open. Is it Fulgerine Balogun? Is it Ricardo Pepi? Is it Haji Wright? Is it Adjiman? I think Adjiman was going to begin to show some things in this particular competition, but as the competition proceeded to go on, I don't think he's a bona fide candidate to be in the first 11, perhaps get on the team in some capacity. I don't think he's a first 11 player. He doesn't do enough for me as a number 9 to be a consistent threat anywhere near the penalty area. Yes, he's a big man and can use his size. Is he agile enough to play with his back to the goal? Can he play 1 and 2 touch in a tight scenario? Is he going to be good getting into the penalty area? All those things remain to be seen, and it remains to be seen with him, Balogun, Carlo Pepe, Haji Wright, Josh Sargent. Can he rebound from his difficult scenario with injury after injury? So these two positions, I think, are still wide open.
I'm glad you mentioned Adjiman because he is sort of the flip side of the coin. I think he might be one of the only players who hurt his stock in my eyes over the course of the Gold Cup just because his performances down the stretch, in particular in the final, were just very disappointing in what was a pretty significant opportunity, more so than anybody in his position on the number 9 depth chart has generally gotten for the U.S. in recent years. He did just complete his move to Derby County, so we'll get to see him at maybe a marginally higher level in the in the English Championship. Speaking of transfers and the U.S. number 9s, really quickly, Bill, before we let you go, St. Louis and Josh Sargent reportedly in conversations over a move to Wolfsburg in the German Bundesliga. How would you feel about that move for him after he's been in Norwich City now for quite a number of years?
Fine. You know why I say that, Nate? Anywhere where he can go to play and continue to play on a regular basis. He has really been aggravated and bothered by that proverbial injury bug. It seems that he's in and out of the first 11 for every club he plays with, but he is a bona fide finisher. And when he has time to prove himself, I think he's certainly in the overall selection of players. And Wolfsburg, hey, We reference Brian McBride again. That's where he began his potential career to be an overall national team player, which came true, fortunately, for the United States. He began his international career in Wolfsburg. So it remains to be seen what's going to transpire with all these players. But I think they can still build a solid unit. And you want to do this going into a World Cup in particular because you're hosting the World Cup. Remember when 94 came around, Nate, and everybody said, oh, my word, how can the United States host a World Cup? They have no league, no organized league of any capacity. They have no pedigree in the World Cup. In 1930, they did well, but nothing since. Turns out there's an average attendance of 68,991. That will be shattered, Nate, simply because of the large venues that they're going to in 2026.
Well, the excitement is still there, Bill. I'm sure you're going to be a very busy man, not only on the KMOX airwaves, but around the region, around the country, in the lead up to this massive tournament coming stateside next summer. We're very excited to be part of it. I'm sure you are as well. Thank you so much for making the time for us tonight, as always.
Anytime, Nate. Anytime. Always a pleasure to talk soccer with you.
Bill McDermott, Mr. Soccer, with us here on Graybar Sports Open Line. We'll take one more break. We'll wrap up with the final thoughts on that Cardinals conversation from the first hour, and maybe let producer Kyle Sixta get his final word in as well, responding to some of your tweets and polls. That is to come. Graybar Sports Open Line. More after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Raybar Sports Open Line continues on this Tuesday evening, wrapping things up. We'll be back with you, as always, 6 o'clock tomorrow. Don't forget Redbird Rush Hour as well. We'll start at 5, and we'll be with you all the way through it. Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly. Tomorrow evening, just so I don't forget to tell you, Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch will be with us to talk all things Cardinals. Jonathan Mayo from MLB.com will join to discuss the MLB draft and the Cardinals selections, headlined, of course, by Liam Doyle. We talked about that quite a bit on the show yesterday, both the Redbird Rush Hour and Sports Open Line, if you want to go back and listen to it in podcast form on the free Odyssey app. Former Fox 2 reporter Daniel Esteve will join us to preview St. Louis City's match next weekend against FC Dallas. Daniel, of course, was one of the great local media folks covering City for a couple of years at Fox 2, and he is now back down in Dallas working for a local station there. So perfect guy to give us both sides of the coin, because he's seen both teams up close and personal this year. Dan Reardon will be with us as well to preview the Open Championship from Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland, which will get underway on Thursday. Dan will be with us Wednesday to preview it, and then Thursday evening as well to go through the happenings of the first round in the Open Championship across the pond. Now it's time to wrap up our Cardinals chat that we've been having all evening in some form or fashion, and we will continue to have probably for the next 2.5 weeks in some form or fashion leading up to the trade deadline. The poll is just about ready to close. We're up to 559 votes on the question of what should the St. Louis Cardinals do at the trade deadline. 70% of you say sell, 18% say buy, 12% say not sure yet. Went through some of the responses earlier. If you missed those, you can go back and listen again in podcast form on the free Odyssey app. The consensus seems to be in the responses as well, that at the very least, trading off some of those expiring pieces in the bullpen, Ryan Helsley most notably, Phil Maton and Steven Matz as well, seems to be the right approach for the Cardinals, regardless of where they are. The one other thing, and we touched on this on Redbird Rush Hour earlier, the one other thing I think that's worth discussing is that the Cardinals could potentially throw John Mozeliak a curveball in the final couple of weeks before the deadline. So they're going to resume in Arizona on Friday night. They'll play 3 against the Diamondbacks. Then they'll go to Denver for 3 against the Rockies and come home for a 7-game homestand, their last 7 games before the deadline, 4 of them against San Diego, 3 of them against Miami. So 9 of those 13 games will be against teams under 500, Arizona, Colorado, and Miami. The Rockies, of course, are more than just below 500. They have the worst record in baseball by nearly 10 games. At 22-74, they've won not even a quarter of their games this year. The Padres are the only team the Cardinals will see between now and the deadline with a winning record. They're 52-44, just a game and a half better than the Cardinals' record. And the Padres, for the moment, are occupying that third and final wild card spot, with the Giants a half game behind, the Cardinals 1.5 behind, and the Reds 2.5 back. So I say that could be a curveball for John Mozeliak, because let's say the Cardinals come out and have some success in those games. Well, in some ways, that complicates things for them, because Mozeliak then has to figure out, if the Cardinals go from a good position that they're in now to make the playoffs, not a great one, but they're only a game and a half out of that wild card, certainly they're not in a bad situation, but if they go from 5 games above 500 to, let's say, I don't know, realistic best case scenario, let's say they were to go 10-3 in those 13 games, that would be very good, but I don't think it's off the table, right? It could happen. If they go 10-3 in those games, they go from 5 games over 500 to 12 games over 500. That 10-3 would make them 61-49. Kind of tough to be a team that's won 61 and lost 49 through 110 games and sell off a whole lot. At the same time, I wonder if John Mozeliak would say to himself, well, that was 10-3 against the softest stretch of schedule you can really expect to have in Major League Baseball. Certainly the softest stretch the Cardinals are going to have for the remainder of the year. Because then, in sort of a cruel twist, the schedule really stiffens up for the first couple of weeks after the break, or after the deadline, I should say. August 1st, they start a 3-game series on the road against San Diego, then 3 games on the road against the Dodgers. Then they come home for a 9-game homestand, 3 against the Cubs, 3 against the Rockies, 3 against the Yankees. So they get the Rockies again. But other than that, you're playing 3 of the absolute top teams in baseball in the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the Yankees, and another one in the Padres that is a playoff team right now. So you'll follow up that stretch with then playing 12 out of 15 games against playoff teams, playing 9 of those 15 games against teams in first place in their respective divisions. Then it softens up a little bit again the second half of August. Overall, the remaining schedule, as Stephen Carey noted during Redbird Rush Hour earlier today, is below average in terms of the winning percentage the Cardinals will see the rest of the way. But if I were John Mozeliak, I would be very hesitant to get too over my skis on the positivity that's happened already, or certainly if there's some positivity against poor teams the rest of the way. I thought I was going to have to be cautioning people more about that, and wouldn't it be just a cruel twist if the Cardinals went 10-3, bought at the deadline, and then proceeded to struggle against that really tough competition the next couple of weeks, and everybody's then criticizing Mozeliak for having bought. But it seems like Cardinals fans are sold on selling, if you will, regardless of what might happen in that stretch. I think that's the right approach, is at least to be sold on selling those expiring contract pieces, the guys you really have to get something for in order to feel like you're staying on plan, that you're keeping the team pointed in the same direction on the trajectory that it has been. You know, to me, that means unless the offers are just really, really, really poor. If the offers were really poor and the Cardinals went 9-4, 10-3 between now and the deadline, okay, maybe. But if the offers are just fair market value, I think Helsley has to move. I think Maton probably has to move. I think Steven Matz probably has to move. And you do your best from there. You still try to make the wild card, be part of the playoff push, get into October, if possible, to give these young guys their experience. But you accept that probably World Series is not happening no matter what, probably National League pennant not happening no matter what, and it's best to keep the build on for the future. This has been Sports Open Line, brought to you by Graybar. For producer Kyle Sixta, Nate Gatter saying talk to you again tomorrow, right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.